Amen. Thankful for the church tonight. And I'm thankful that though the church throughout church history, there's been many churches that have suffered individually. There's been a lot of things hurled at churches. But at the end, Jesus wins. And the church is not going to be defeated. Jesus Christ is going to win. And you can just count on it. If you don't believe it, read your Bible some more. And have some hope that we talked about one night, because Jesus is going to win. Amen? And I'm looking forward to that day, and I'm trusting him for his help throughout our lives. And we don't know how long we'll live on earth, but as long as we do, we're going to trust him to help us and to walk with us along our journey. And I'm thankful for that reality tonight. If you're glad to be in church on this Saturday evening, say amen. That was kind of good. Solidly good. I thought that it might be a little weaker than that because it's Saturday night. And I like Saturday night. I don't know about you guys. Saturday night is just, it's an interesting day. At least I've been a pastor's kid all my entire life. Almost, I say that. My dad is not a pastor anymore. But it feels like I have been. And Saturday night was just everything. We had to get everything ready for Sunday. And that was so, it's just unique. And Saturday nights are always a highlight, and I like them. And but on revivals, in revivals, Saturday nights, they kind of just get disrupted, don't they? You can be honest. Sometimes you're tired. You've been, Tuesday night we were here, Wednesday night we were here, Thursday night we were here, Friday night we were here. Saturday we drag in. Some of us. But it's good to do that. Spiritual discipline is important. And I'm glad you're here tonight. And so I'll do my dead level best to keep it moving, keep it fast, and keep it practical. And if we do all of those things, maybe we can get out in a timely manner. And maybe, possibly, with the Lord's help, we might figure out something. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 is where we're going to look for a short amount of time tonight. Romans chapter 13. While you're turning there, we live in a digital age, don't we? We do. Maybe not down here in Shoals. I hardly can get cell service down here. If you hold your phone a certain way, you might live in a digital age down here. But in the city where I live, we definitely live in a digital age. We can connect with people from around the world with the snap of your fingers. And there's social media options that are on our phones, on our computers, that help us connect to friends all around the world. I just got a new phone recently, and it was downloading, and I was trying to figure everything out on this new phone, and I was on my contact list, and there was 850 contacts in my contact list. And I thought that was a lot. That's quite a few. You may have a lot more, but that's a lot of contacts that I could just push their name, and I could be on the phone with them, and I could talk with them. You know, many generations previous to this, they had to hope and pray that their mail would get to where it's supposed to go. We live in an age where we can communicate, we can connect with people at a moment's notice. I lived in Pennsylvania for a little while, and as I was there, we downloaded the app Marco Polo. Does anybody have that app? Nobody has that app. Okay, nobody knows what that is. Crystal back there knows what that is. I see her shaking her head, and she babysat me when I was a little boy, and she might have a lot of stories. Don't ask her. Rabbit trail. But Marco Polo is an app where you can video yourself. It's kind of like FaceTime without, you don't have to be live. You can video yourself, and you can talk to whoever you want to talk to. We had a family chat, and you could video yourself saying, yeah, we're eating ice cream at Freddy's. And if they wanted to, they could tune in that moment. But if they wanted to, they could wait a couple of hours if they were busy, and they could go back and watch it. And we had this app, and when we lived in Pennsylvania, we would regularly use this app. So when Charlotte was a little younger, my mom and dad had just become grandparents, and they wanted to see Charlotte all the time. They couldn't come up all the time, obviously, but they wanted to be FaceTiming or they wanted a Marco Polo almost on a daily basis. And so we would video Charlotte and then they would video themselves back at Charlotte. And man, that is rich. That is rich to see your parents doing all sorts of crazy things trying to entertain a toddler over your phone. I mean, it's unique. I'll tell you that. You should try it sometime. But it was fascinating to see my dad or my mom on that app trying to get Charlotte's attention. Why were they doing that? Well, because they wanted a relationship. They wanted to forge a connection with Charlotte. We moved back to Cincinnati just about a year ago, and Charlotte does not like Pops. That's what she calls him, not in that moment in time. And so that was a real challenge for him, because Charlotte was just unsure of my dad, Pops, and so he started to think, what in the world could he do to get Charlotte on his side? And he came up with a brilliant solution, I'll tell you. He went to Grater's and he bought her a donut. And so every Friday that he is in town, I'm not there, but my wife gets a knock on the door, and it's my dad delivering a personalized donut just for Charlotte. Every single Friday. She waits all week long for her donut. And you wouldn't believe how close they are all of a sudden. I mean to tell you, they are fast friends, and she kind of likes Pops now, and it's worked. Why did he do that? Because he wanted a connection with her. He wanted a relationship with his granddaughter. And as Christians, when we were saved, we gained a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We forged a connection with God. And as Christians, we must live our lives to please and to honor Him. And one way we do that is by cultivating communion with God, having a daily connection with Him. And so, Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife and envying." Verse 14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." We're going to look at verse 14. It's a little unique. We're going to walk backwards tonight. Verse 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh." That phrase right there in verse 14, "put on," do you see it? "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ," has the idea of putting on a coat. Are you visualizing it? Has the idea of putting on a coat. So think about this. Am I willingly putting on Christ so that those around me can see that I have Christ in me? You following? If you want to have a daily connection with God and you want to build your relationship with Him, you must be willing to put on Christ. You know, I believe one of the reasons why people fail in their walks with the Lord, or they fail in their relationship with God, is because they're afraid to put Him on. They're afraid to tell their friends and their family that they're Christians. Maybe they're embarrassed at following what God has outlined in His Word. We're to put on Christ. Now, I know there's many married here tonight. I don't know if anybody is dating tonight, but there might be someone here. But if you are, you're married or you're dating or you want to be dating, would it work if you were totally embarrassed of your significant other all the time? Now, I'm not talking about what I did to my wife last night. She told me after the service that I flat out embarrassed her when I talked about my little GPS that helps me on my driving. She said, I embarrassed her. I'm so sorry. So sorry. I'm not talking about that embarrassment. What if your significant other, I mean, you could not even stand to be around them because they were so weird? That'd be kind of weird. That's awkward. That wouldn't work. What if you never spoke to your wife or your husband? Never. You were nonverbal. I don't think that would work. Or what if all you did, I mean to tell you, all you did was fight and argue, and you could not, I mean, if she did this, you were on the opposite side. Or if he did this, he was on the opposite side of the issue. You just fought all the time. Would that work in a relationship? No. Why? Because a relationship requires communication. A relationship requires harmony with each other. A relationship requires us being in tune with each other. You want a relationship where you can come together. You can agree on things. You can talk about things. You can live together within harmony. And that's the same way with Jesus Christ. When we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we commune with him. How do we do that? We pray. We read the Word of God. We are in harmony with him. How do you become in harmony with Jesus? Well, you follow what he has for you in your word. He has outlined that. And we want to be in harmony with Christ. And that's all part of putting him on. We are to put on Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, it also uses the idea of putting on Christ. But in that context, in Galatians chapter 3, it's in the context of baptism. When you're baptized, it brings the idea that it's a new way of living. You are now identifying as a Christian, and you're telling the whole world that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am dying out to my dreams and desires. I'm no longer going to be selfish, and I'm no longer going to follow what I have for my life. I'm totally committing myself to Jesus Christ, the one who died for me. I'm giving myself to him. And when we do that in baptism, we publicly go under the water, come back up, testifying, praising God to the world that he saved us. That's another way of putting on Christ. He is the one that we're trying to please. We're putting him on. That's one way to cultivate communion with God. Second, we're to be closed to self. Number two, closed to self. Verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. What does it mean by flesh? Well, in this context, right here in this passage, flesh is sin. So we are not to make provisions for sin. So how do we not do that? Well, you know the areas of your life that lead you to temptation, that lead you down areas of struggle or weakness, and we are to make no provision for those activities. We are to make no provision for sin. So we're to use, or we're not to use, anything in our lives that would lead us there. Making provision for the flesh is making decisions that you will know that will lead you to failure. Let me say that again. Making provision for the flesh is making decisions that you know that will lead you to failure. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like an alcoholic who tries to stay sober, but he keeps a secret stash of beer under his bed. It's not going to work. He's making provision for the flesh. And our passage of scripture tonight says, make no provision. If you're going to have a daily connection with God, you must not allow anything in your life that will bring you down spiritually. Amen? You have to be closed to self. In the 1960s, 70s, there was a Stanford psychologist who conducted an experiment. He offered preschoolers, a choice to eat one marshmallow right now or they could wait 15 minutes and they could have two. That was his experiment. One marshmallow right now, preschoolers, you can have one right now, wait 15 minutes, you can have two. He conducted the experiment, and this is what they found. The kids who waited longer achieved higher SAT scores, had healthier BMIs, showed better emotional regulation as teens and adults, and they lost their brain when they were about 50. Just kidding. I would have. That's a crazy experiment if you ask me. I don't know what they were trying to prove, but that's what his experiment was. Number one, the first thing that was wrong with that experiment was marshmallows to preschoolers. I think they should have used Skittles or Nerds, but anyway. A hard choice, possibly, for a preschooler. Think about this. One marshmallow right now, two marshmallows in 15 minutes. In that moment, in their little minds, they had a choice for instant gratification right now. I can have a marshmallow. Or they could somehow, in their little brains, understand that, man, I could have two, but man, this is going to take a while. The study went on, and it talked about how the kids tried to preoccupy themselves as they waited the 15 minutes. Some didn't make it. They indulged, and they couldn't wait 15 minutes. But some did. But friends, spiritually thinking, we are all faced with choices that seem wonderful in the moment, and they can instantly gratify us right now. They can. And some of those things are good. Some things can be good. Some of those things are totally not good. They're bad for us. There's choices that look appealing. There's choices that seem good in the moment, but really they are not. But we must remember that the choices that we choose must be aligned with what God has for us in our lives. We can't allow anything in our lives that would tear us down spiritually. We have to be closed to self. Your reward is not for the here and now. Your reward is waiting for you in heaven. Amen? So, number one, first point, we are to put on Christ. Number two, we're to be closed to self. And number three, we're to be cognizant, or to be cognizant of where we are spiritually. We're to be aware of where we are spiritually. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about cultivating communion with God, having a relationship with Him. Verse 11 through 13 say, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly." That's important. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife and envying." Wake up. Cast off the works of darkness. You know, this is present tense. Cast off the work of darkness. That's present tense. That's right now. If we're going to have a daily connection with God, if we are going to have a daily relationship with God, this passage teaches us that we are to live right now in this present age. It says, cast off the works of darkness. If we're going to have a daily connection with God, it must be right now. Not next year. Not when you get married. Not when you have grandkids. Not when you go to college. Not when you have a kid. You are to live a godly life right now. And I'm thankful that we can live a godly life right now. I'm thankful for the grace of God. We've talked about God's grace at times all throughout this week. And God has given each and every one of us grace in some level. And some of us that are Christians tonight, He has given us abundant grace. And there have been times in my life where I've looked back across my short journey on this earth, and I've seen how God has been faithful to me over and over and over again. He saved me. Amen. He's entirely sanctified me. Amen. He's called me. He's walked with me through trials. He's been with me every step of the journey because he has enabled me through his grace to walk in harmony with him. Have I done it perfectly? No. Have you done it perfectly? Probably not. Have we struggled at times? Yes. Have we failed at times? Probably. But friends, the key is not to give up. We are to live for God right now. Right now. And the key is to keep on going. 1 John tells us that if we walk in the light, we can have fellowship with God. And in our lives, there may be moments and times where we have blind spots that appear in our lives that need corrected. Don't stop serving God in those moments. You yield to him in that moment. You say, God, you can have that. Or God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you keep on going. Because what? We're casting off the works of darkness. Sometimes when we cast the works of darkness off, sometimes we don't know it at times until God reveals it to us. When he does, we cast them off. Living in harmony with God takes work. It does. Having a daily connection with God takes work. But it's so worth living a life that is pleasing to him. And when we're walking in harmony with God, we're cognizant of where we're at spiritually. We're aware. When you're aware with your walk with the Lord, when you're cognizant of where you're at spiritually, you walk honestly, Scripture tells us. So if you stumble, you're to be honest. If you need help tonight, be honest. If you're discouraged, be honest. Why? Because we're to be cognizant of where we're at spiritually, aware. I want to encourage us tonight that serving God is the best thing you'll ever do. You've heard this before. It'll take you places that you never dreamed you could go. That's true. You'll do things you never dreamed you would do. You'll be blessed. You'll be fulfilled. This is not the so glamorous part. You will face discouragement. Bad things happen to good people. You'll face challenges, but God's grace and faithfulness is enough. And if you're struggling with practical daily living with God, like your devotions or prayer, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. You can make it. If your prayer life is struggling, don't give up. You can make it. You can do it. If that means starting at 5 minutes a day, you can do it. If you're tired and discouraged of walking the Christian life, don't give up. This is very profound tonight. God has grace for you, and you can make it. You can make it. You can have a daily connection with God. Winston Churchill on October 29th, 1941, gave a speech addressing young students during the darkest days of World War II. And he said these famous words, "Never give in, never, 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 and nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to the convictions of honor and of good sense." These words, spoken by Churchill, invigorated his audience. It encouraged his audience during that dark period. I like biographies. I listened to a biography on Winston Churchill. He was a great orator. I like to listen to those great leaders of our past and hear how they have helped shape where our world is today. And as I thought of that speech that Churchill was giving, he was leading a great nation. That nation was being bombarded by bombs on a nightly basis. It was a terrible time in their history. And at all odds, he led the people to never give in. And we know the history. He didn't. I thought about that. And as a good preacher, you always think you can, you know, think about spiritual things when you think about our history and as you think about things that have happened in our past. And I thought, you know, we don't have bombs coming down on us. We don't have enemy nations trying to kill us, at least I hope not. We certainly don't, we aren't leading a nation. I don't think anybody here is leading a nation like Winston Churchill did. If you are, I'd love to talk to you. But we are facing an enemy that is trying to conquer our souls. We are. And we must not allow it. We must never give in. We need to put on Christ. We need to unashamedly put him on in our lives and share the good news of the gospel to a dark world. We must be closed to self, not allowing anything in our lives to lead us down the well-worn paths that lead us to sin. We've got to make no provision for the flesh. And then third, we need to be aware of where we're at spiritually so that when you're walking with him and something in your life doesn't seem right, maybe you're realizing as you're reading God's word, oh, I'm supposed to do that. That means you're being cognizantly aware of where you're at and you correct it. Why? Because we're walking in the light and we're trusting God and we're building a connection and a relationship with him. It's so important. Tonight, my main goal, my main purpose for sharing what I shared tonight is to tell you once again that you can make it. You can live the Christian life. You can live the Christian life. Put on Christ. Be closed to self. Be aware, be cognizant of where you're at spiritually. And if you do, you'll be well up the road spiritually. And you can live your life pleasing and honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go out into our world and share the good news of the gospel. And you can live a life pleasing to God. And you can make it. Don't ever give in. My wife's coming and we're going to sing, "I Am Determined. I've Made Up My Mind. I Will Serve the Lord." And I hope that's your testimony tonight, because you can make it. You can make it. You can be determined to serve the Lord. And when you do, the blessings are countless. And you can walk with him. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Let's sing this tonight. I am determined.
I am determined. I've made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. I'll lift all.
If you believe it tonight, say amen.
Amen.
You're a beautiful looking crowd. It's Saturday night. You're out 7 minutes early. You're welcome. You're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly. And have a beautiful Saturday evening. Be ready to come back tomorrow worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're dismissed.